And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them. Let's just stop there and have a word of prayer. Lord, we ask that you'd bless now the Bible study this morning, that we would see through the eyes of your word and by your Holy Spirit the actions of the early church and the apostles with regards to worldwide missions. Bless our Sunday school time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week we looked at the one-on-one account with Jesus and the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and how she was dealt with on a one-on-one basis, and then how she went back to her village and brought the entire village, or most of the village, to hear Jesus and what Jesus had to say. And that many in that village came to know Christ, put their faith and trust in him. So look on your handout, just the introductory statement. The early church did not simply give witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they did so with great power. Again, verse 33, I'm just going to read it again. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. So we're reminded this morning that as believers that God's Spirit indwells those of us that have been redeemed, those of us that are saved, and we've asked God to forgive us of our sin by faith and trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. We're reminded in Matthew chapter 28, in what's often referred to there as the Great Commission. Well, before Jesus said, you should go into all the world and teach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, the Bible says this, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Or there in Luke's gospel, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So you notice the word power there. Just put the definition of it for you. It has the idea of authority, or it's really a privilege that the Lord has given us. Has the idea of the word competency and freedom, or to be able to influence. And, of course, that power that resides within you and me is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God. In fact, you're in the book of Acts. Just go back to Acts chapter 1. Let me just show you this here. We're going to be in the book of Acts, look at a couple of different portions of Scripture this morning. But Acts chapter 1, and by now, of course, Jesus has been crucified, he's been buried, he's risen from the dead, and he is about here to ascend back into heaven. But he gives this instruction. At the end of verse 4, he says to the apostles, But wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And then they ask the question in verse 6. They say, well, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this particular time? And of course, he's not. But he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts or part of the earth. You just stop there for a minute. You know, one of the wonderful things about witnessing to people and sharing the gospel with people is that we're just the instrument. We're just the tool. But God will use us. God will use us to share His witness and share our faith. But you and I really can't convince anyone from an intellectual point of view, I mean, to be saved. We may mouth the words, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to bring the conviction. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to help people understand that they're sinners and they need a Savior. But you do understand this, the Lord wants to use you. Amen? The Lord wants to use you to influence people for Christ. And the Holy Spirit will use you. Now, the early church, there were numerous examples of the power of God coming upon them. The early church was filled with signs and wonders that were authenticating that God had touched their lives and God had desired to use them. You know, the Bible says, the Jew seeketh after a sign, but the Greek seeketh after wisdom. So, while I'm not teaching on it this morning, many of the sign gifts, they came to an end. And that's another lesson for another time. But we saw it here. In fact, go back to chapter 4. And in verse 30, by the stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. So you saw in the early days of the church, there were great events that took place, really miraculous events that took place. And we're going to look at a couple of those this morning. But the power of God, we need to understand the power of God rests upon us. So when you share your faith with someone, it's the power of God. You're planting the seed, and it's the power of God that's going to bring conviction. And if you think about that, I often think about that when I'm sharing my faith with someone, or if I give somebody a gospel tract, and I'll ask someone, why don't you go ahead and read this? It reminds you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you. Well, I do that with the idea that they're going to read it, but as they're reading the Word of God, then the Holy Spirit of God is going to bring conviction. The Holy Spirit of God is going to prick their heart. The Holy Spirit of God is going to convince them of their need of a Savior. You understand what I'm saying? So we're so dependent upon that. But it's important because when we understand that, and you'll see, for instance, my second point in the lesson, you see the courage that the disciples had. And sometimes we don't have the courage. We wish we had more courage. It's the Spirit of God that will give you the courage and to deal with these issues. But three things I want you to notice here about the power of God coming upon the apostles. First, it was the power of God that changed their speech. So let's look at chapter 2 in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2. The power of God changed their speech. The Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Let me just stop there for a minute. So the Jews had come from all over the region for Pentecost. And I think if I remember correctly, Jerusalem usually, at that time, the population of Jerusalem normally was about 50,000 people. But whenever there were the Jewish feasts, and there were seven feasts, that the population in Jerusalem would swell to like 250,000 people. So the city was filled with people, Jews that had come from all over, really that part of the world, to come and worship. And from different places. And they spoke different languages. Verse 6. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? So the apostles are there. They're from the region of Galilee. Even in Israel, you could tell. Does anybody know how you could tell if someone was a Galilean? No, but it was by something. That's a good thought, but not by them. You know what? They might have dressed a little bit differently, but there was more of a specific way. That's right. They had a different accent. Now, Israel's not that big. It's probably like the size of New Jersey. But if I grew up in New Jersey. So if you lived in South Jersey, you had what you'd call like a South Jersey or a Philadelphia accent. You could tell somebody from South Jersey. If you lived in Bayonne, New Jersey, you could tell that they were from Bayonne. They had that real thick city type of an accent. And where I grew up, not really that, well, I guess whatever accent I have, that's the accent that I have. But even in a small state like that, you had different people. In Galilee, they had a different tone. And in Massachusetts, right? If you go to the other end of the state, you can usually tell if someone is from Boston by where they park the car, right? And so it was the same with the Galileans. Huh? Worcester. Yeah, when I moved here. What is this? Worcester or whatever. No, Worcester, my wife said. Worcester, okay. But the Galileans also, we're going to find out, were known, not only did they know that they were Galileans by how they spoke, but Galileans were kind of like, they were country people. They weren't from the city. And so they're recognized here as Galileans. Of course, that's where Jesus' earthly ministry began. And they were amazed because they heard them speak in their own language. And the Lord empowered them to speak in their own language. This is really in Acts chapter 2. It's pretty clear to me. I don't know how I find it difficult for people who get confused with regards to the gift of speaking in tongues. Have you ever heard there's a whole branch, quote unquote, or a whole stream of Christianity that speak in what they believe is tongues? But it's not the same tongues that we find here in the book of Acts chapter number 2. It's a babble. It's unrecognizable. It's have you ever heard anyone speak that way in tongues? Yeah, I had a fellow come here one time, and he was talking to me. All of a sudden, he starts, I'm looking at him and thinking, what in the world are you doing, man? And but you notice here some things. It says, we hear, verse 8, every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And it specifically here, it lays out the different places where they were. Parthians or Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia in Egypt, and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocked, saying, these men are full of new wine. Now, they weren't full of new wine. They were being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them the ability to speak to all of those that were visiting there in Israel or in Jerusalem, gave them the abilities, changed their speech for the purpose of preaching the gospel. And I find that to be the case in the Bible. The gift of tongues that were given here was for the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, that people would understand it. And remember, all of these people would, at some point, they would all go back to wherever they were from. And so it was a beautiful opportunity here for the gospel to be shared with all of them. And the Lord changed that speech. He empowered them. Some believe that they were given the ability to speak the languages, and it would be as if you never could speak German, and all of a sudden you're with a lot of German people, and God gave you the ability and God gave you the gift to speak German. Some believe, and I tend to believe that that's what happened here, but some other Bible commentators believe that the gift was that they heard them, that the Galileans, that the apostles spake in their own language, but God gave them, the other people, the ability to hear it in their own language. You understand what I'm saying? So they would speak, it would be as if I'm with that same group of German people, but I'm speaking English, but they're receiving it as if it was German. I tend to believe it was the first rather than the latter. But the point of it is, they were there to preach to them, to tell them, because what happens is, look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. And so then he begins to preach to them and to share with them, really out of the Old Testament, and then begins to declare to them who it is that they are preaching to them about. In fact, I'm not going to do this whole sermon, but look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass, he said, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden. And he begins to preach to them the word of God here. And they're listening to what he's got to say. Then verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, meaning the listeners. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Well, that was quite a message that was preached that day. 3,000 people came to know Christ as their Savior. So God changed their speech. God empowered their speech. And the point of all this for you and me is this. We don't have to be the apostles for God to use us to share the gospel with people. But God can only use you if you'll share the gospel with people. You've got to speak. You've got to let your, you know, many years ago, a preacher said this, that most Christians, they're like the Arctic River. The Arctic River is frozen at the mouth. All right? So, let's not be, this is a wonderful time of the year, Thanksgiving going into Christmas, to be able to share our faith with people. We can be missionaries right here, right where we are. But remember this, whenever you share your faith with someone, you're counting on, you're depending on the power of the Holy Spirit to take those words and to prick the person's heart who you're sharing them with. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to be a deep theologian to share your faith. You just have to, one of my other favorite quotes I often say, is something I heard many, many years ago, that you and I, we're just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. Right? If you were starving to death and you found bread somewhere and you had friends, and what would you do? You'd go to them and say, listen, I found a whole room full of bread. Come and follow me to where that is. Well, it's the same as sharing our faith. You know, it's Christmas. The Christmas season's coming about. You're going to be with friends and family. Things like, have you ever thought what the real message of Christmas is about and why God sent His Son Jesus? Or do you know that I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior? And you just tell somebody what you did, that I'm a born-again believer. Really, and you'll be surprised, because many people this time of year, you're just in casual settings, they're just curious. Well, what does that mean? And then you tell them, you tell them what you did to get saved and why you needed to get saved. And what you're doing is you're planting the seed of God's Word in their heart. And then you're depending upon God to come, the Holy Spirit to come along, and the Holy Spirit to take that and to bring conviction to their heart and the reality of their need. You could do that with your mouth. How else can you do it? Gospel tracts. Gospel tracts. How else can you do it? Huh? Well, your actions. Yeah, it's good if people see Christ living in you before you. If you're going to share the gospel with someone, it's probably a good idea that they actually see Christ in your actions. So, like, you don't want to go to the Christmas party and be drunk and start sharing the gospel with someone. You shouldn't be drunk anyhow. You understand what I'm saying? How else? Those are all good. How else? Praying? Sure, that's good. What else? You pretty much hit them all except for one. What did the woman at the well do with the whole town? What did she do? Huh? She said, come and see a man. So I said, just bring him to church. Come and hear about it. Come and hear about it. And see, it could be a combination of several of those things. You know, we're putting together the Christmas program for 2 weeks in the morning. We're going to have the children. They're going to come up and they're going to sing a song and they're going to be in different outfits and they're getting prepared to do that like we did last year. And it was very successful. A lot of you invited someone to come. And sometimes people would come because, you know, it was their grandchildren that were in the program. Nothing wrong with that. They're still sitting under the gospel, going to sit under the preaching of the gospel. You know, any way you can get them to come, get them to come. Christmas is a tool. It's a tool to get people to come and hear the gospel. Different times of the year we do things like that. So the apostles, their speech was changed. And really our speech is changed too. You know, we when the Spirit of God dwells within us, He changes our speech. And we're to share the Lord with people. But He gives them courage as well. So now go to chapter 4 again of the book of Acts. One of the things that the Holy Spirit will do, the Holy Spirit will empower us, give us the courage that we need. So I've been pastoring now since 1990, and I've been serving the Lord in this ministry here since 1982. So that's a long time, I go out into the community at times and knock on doors or leave tracts and flyers or talk to people, just cold encounters. And you might think, well, Pastor, you've been doing this for a long time, so you must have a lot of courage. Some days I have more courage than others. Some days I feel like I could just, I don't care who it is, I'm just going to share the gospel. And other days I feel kind of weak and timid. And that's what happens. But the apostles here, these were just men like you and I. Look at verse 5 of chapter 4. Acts chapter 5, or 4, verse 5. I want you to see how the Spirit of God gave them courage to do what they did. And it came to pass on the morning that the rulers and the elders and the scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Let me just stop there. Isn't it interesting that these are in opposition to what the apostles are doing? But they recognized that there was some power upon them. There was something going on there. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole," in other words, this man was healed, "and be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders." He's referring here to the stone is referring to Jesus. "Which has become the head of the corner. And neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now look at verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John," let me just stop. Remember, these men were just fishermen. These men were nothing special. When they were called of the Lord, they were fishermen from Galilee, backwoodsmen. And here they are standing before the elite, standing before the powerful, standing before the religious hierarchy and the political hierarchy and the social hierarchy there in Jerusalem. And there, with boldness, they're expressing their faith. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I'll never forget many years ago, maybe 10 years ago now, I was asked to preach my cousin's funeral in New York State. And I knew that my cousin's brother-in-law was going to be there. And he was a very, very intelligent man. He was a lawyer. He also studied medicine. And he had actually been taught in a very large church in Florida, a Baptist church in Florida. But he converted to Catholicism, which I thought was different. And then he went to study, not for the priesthood, but to study theology at a Catholic university to earn his doctorate so that he could teach. So I knew that we would see, and he always liked to discuss things. So I knew that when we sat at lunch after the funeral was over, there was going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of theological truths to be discussed. So I was nervous. Because I've never thought I'm some great theologian. I've always truly thought I'm just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. I just study and read the Bible and depend on the Holy Spirit to guide and to lead and to direct and give me messages and to live for Jesus. So we sat at the table and I had prayed and just asked if the Lord would just give me strength and give me the ability. And then it wasn't just me and him. You know, I have another cousin whose husband is a Southern Baptist pastor in New York State. And he was at the table, and the discussions began. And I was just amazed, it seemed, how little he knew. And I'm not, I don't make this to sound like I'm bragging or anything like that, but how little he knew and how much I knew. But you know what it was? It was he knew very little of the Bible. I just shared with him the Bible. Well, whatever the topic was. But you know, I said, Paul, the Bible says that he would go, well, the church, da 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 da. You know, but Paul, the Bible says, and he would da 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 da. The Bible says, and that's why it's so important for you and I to learn and know the Bible. Because all you do is share the Bible. And I've got, and I'll never forget, I had a family member sitting at the table, and they're just watching this discussion going on. And here's Paul, this very well-educated, very prominent, quote-unquote, and me. But just depend, and God gives you the courage and the strength to do that. And he'll give you the courage, too. Listen, these men should have been, they should have been fearful of this hierarchy. But they saw, the opposition saw the boldness that Peter and John had and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. These were not well-educated men. These men hadn't gone to Bible college now. They had gone to the greatest Bible college of all. They'd walked with Jesus for 3 years. You can't go to a Bible college greater than that. Amen? But they just marveled at them. It went on to say in verse 15, they commanded them to go outside of the council, and the council confers. Well, what do we do with these men, they say in verse 16. Definitely has been a miracle here. And they said in verse 17, well, let's just threaten them. Let's just tell them, don't do this ever again. And they called in verse 18 and said, don't you ever speak or teach in the name of Jesus again. And I love Peter's answer in verse 19. He says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm sorry, they said, but you may not want us to share what we're going to share with other people, but we're just going to go ahead and do it. And I suppose that council was just, oh. And they let them go. So, not only were the apostles, they give them the ability to speak the language and to share their faith. It gives you and I the words to say. But he also gives us the courage. Gives us the courage. And lastly, he gave them a vision to do what needed to be done. Look at verse 5, chapter 5 and verse 17. So again, they're in trouble again. And the apostles are, people are turning to them. Verse 14 says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. Now remember, these are mostly Jewish people, so the Jewish hierarchy is getting very upset with this. And a multitude has come, and people are being healed. Verse 17, the high priest rose up, and all that were with him in the sect of the Sadducees, they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles, and they put them in prison. The angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple. Now you'd think that maybe if the prison doors were open and they got let out, they'd run away. But they didn't run away. They went to the temple, to the very place they shouldn't, that they didn't, the religious crowd didn't want them to go. And when they heard that, verse 21, they entered into the temple. But the high priest came, and they were with him, and they called the council together. The officers, verse 22, came. But they're not in the prison. They said, well, the prison is shut, but the prisoners, they're not there, in verse 23. So they called them again together. And they said, these men, they're in the temple. The prisoners, they're preaching in the temple. So the captain goes in verse 26. They set them before the council again. Verse 28, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in the name of Jesus? And you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted. Verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And so, they had a vision. They had a vision to take the gospel and to share it with as many people as they possibly could. And whether they were supposed to, whether, you know, we've run out of time. Let me just say this. Well, we are called in the Scriptures to obey the civil law. We're not called in the Scriptures to obey the civil law if it is in contradiction to the written law of God. And that's what they were saying. Yeah, you tell us not to tell other people about Jesus, we can't help but tell people about Jesus. Now, I think you should do it wisely, and I don't think you should be obnoxious about it. You share your faith. You know, it said early on in the lesson that God gave them utterances. The word utterance means, Paul asks for utterance in, for instance, the book of Ephesians. It means to share the gospel intelligently, to share the gospel clearly, share the gospel so people can understand it. And that's what the apostles, God changed their speech. God gave them courage. God gave them a vision to reach people. And what's true for them can really be and should be true for you and I. God will give us the right words to say. God will give us the courage to say them. And God will give us the vision, the sensitivity to be able to share our faith with people. It's our Bible lesson for today. Let's pray. Lord, bless the morning service, the worship service. Let it bring honor and glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.